It's so sad that this is coming like a week late, but happy International Men's Day, guys. To the ones that wear a bada and suit that bust our head, we see you, we appreciate you. Keep up the work of the Lord, continue to bust our brain. Welcome to another episode of the Restroom Podcast. Onyekosa, your host, and we're back again with another episode. Today I'm super excited. I feel like you can hear it from my voice because I finally have a guest. And this episode, I've been meaning to get it done to like 3 weeks ago, but something is happening and we're not able to get to it. But today we have a guest with us, our favorite Texas, and you know, she's not afraid to let us know about it. She has a YouTube page and you know, she creates content particularly as regards, you know, data analytics, basically all this Texas stuff and all the things that most of us are not really aware of. So we have Chidima today. Chidima, introduce yourself.
Hi everyone. Okay, so my name is Chidima, and I'm actually like a software engineer now.
Oh, really?
So I'm a software engineer, and but I used to do like data science and data analysis before. I have 2 years experience as a data analyst. But then after doing that for like 2 years, it kind of got bored for me, like boring rather.
As per onto other stuffs. Chidima is smart, you guys. That's why she can say I got bored.
Please, you guys, don't mind her. Okay. So anyways, yeah, I decided to try on something new. So I did a transition once again into software dev, and that's what I'm currently doing now.
Okay, God. Some of us, you know, with all these things that she has said, you make some people seem like, what are you doing with your life? What are you even doing with your life? Some people got bored. They got bored with data science. Can you imagine that? And she just decided that I'm bored, I'm done.
No, and
I'm,
it's actually interesting. Like, don't get me wrong. Okay. Like, apart from the fact that I was bored, like, there were a lot of other like things that made me, you know,
okay. Hopefully we get into that in the episode. So I met Chidima in uni. We met via like a mutual friend place, then along the line she moved to my hostel, and she did not just even move to my hostel, she moved next door.
Yeah.
So from there we just now all got together and all. So I think we should just get into the episode, right? Like, how did you get into this space? Everybody's like, come into tech, but there has to be like a roadmap. So how did you get into it?
Okay, so I've always been a science student. I think it's important I say that.
Let me say it too. Chidima is brainy. Chidima sabi brain. Okay.
Okay, so I think it's important I say that, just to give like context to people and okay, so that they understand better. So I've always been a science student in university. I was in technology faculty, and I studied electronics and electrical engineering. But then in school, I saw a lot of people coding and making money while in school. And, you know, as an evil girl, I was like, okay, what can I do? I need to get on this like ASAP. So I tried programming then, and it was a bit difficult for me, honestly, I won't lie. So I decided to go into the next best thing to ensure like my foot gets into the tech industry, basically.
Okay.
So that was how I discovered data analysis, and I loved it and all of that. So I took some, you know, courses online. I joined some classes, some boot camps that were organized in school. And I mean, the rest is history. So anyways, after getting my certifications online from Udacity as a data analyst, I got a job in Kudi. But then the interesting thing about it is, you know, I hear a lot of people saying that it's difficult for them to like get their first tech job.
Yeah.
And
I think maybe we should hold on that, because it's one of like the things that everyone wants to ask to as well, like how to get into it.
Okay, so we can. Okay, maybe you can ask later.
Yeah.
Then,
so I guess we'll get to that later. No. Okay. Right, so okay. Now, like you said, I know that you were an elect, and because I always wanted to ask you this question, that you were an elect and all. how easy was it for you to like pivot, and at what point did you decide that okay, you wanted to just switch? I know you said that okay, yes, you saw people making money and all, but apart from the money, was there any other thing that you saw that you felt like okay, maybe like the career options were better, or like yeah, because career options in tech too, I feel I feel like it's also good, but like maybe there was something more. Yeah, maybe if there was something more that you also decided that okay, yeah, I think I should change.
Okay, that's fine. So honestly, for me, I was the kind of student that honestly, anything I had done, I would succeed. Initially, when I wanted to get into university, I was considering going for medicine. I don't know if you know this in combo. I was considering reading medicine to become a doctor, you know? Like, I just had the capacity to learn a lot of stuff and be good at it. So,
and you said I was whining when I said it's a big book. When I said it, you said I was whining.
But the truth of the matter is, for elect, I just didn't see myself, you know, practicing elect. It's a good course, and it probably, like, it does have a lot of, you know, opportunities for you to delve into and all of that, you know, the good stuff and everything. But I just did not see myself doing that. And the reason was just because of the kind of life I wanted for myself. I noticed that I would have to be more hands-on if I decided to pursue that route of career and all of that. And I just wanted a soft life. Because working in tech, it gives me the flexibility I want.
Yeah.
I can work remotely or hybrid, or and the hours are friendly. Some people might argue it's not, but I feel the hours are friendly. You could actually be on vacation, or we could be out of the country and you would still be working.
Yeah.
But you can't have that as an electronics engineer, or do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's more hands-on, and I just wasn't, I'm not about that life. I'm not about that life. I want the flexibility.
I feel like it's even because of people like you, like there are a lot of digital nomads these days. Like a number of countries, yeah, they are creating like this visa for especially like nomads that can just come in and just, you know, mm-hmm. just work and yeah. all. So yeah, I know that part actually, that it's pretty flexible. Like the yeah. work hours are pretty flexible and mm-hmm. all that. So was it easy for you to like pivot when you decided that you wanted to change? I don't know if I should even ask this question, because you already said from the beginning that it's easy for you to almost like grasp anything you want to do. But at the end of the day, I feel like there's always like challenge to some, like learning something new. So how challenging was it, or how easy was it? Because that's also like the fear of a number of people, because they feel like, oh, okay, like this field now that I don't know anything about, like how can I get into it? Let's say an average person has been eyeing it and he or she's not sure if it will work for them, because I've just seen that a number of people even think for tech, they think it's like math or further math. I don't know why, but they just think it's math or something. So people are like, I don't know math, or I don't know, like I have no idea. So what is, like how can they get into it? Like how easy or difficult is it?
Okay. How easy or difficult? So that is like a relative question. Okay. But for me, was it difficult for me to get started into data analytics? The short answer is no.
Okay.
But was it like currently, is it easy for me to get into, you know, software development, what I'm currently doing? The short answer is it's not easy. It's quite difficult. So I usually tell people, if you follow me on Instagram or my YouTube, I usually tell like my followers that if you are trying to break into tech, for me, this is my own opinion, the easiest way to get into tech, I tell people, is through data analytics. And this is why. It requires less programming experience or coding experience, and the tools you need to become a data analyst are things that some people use already in their day-to-day. For example, a lot of us grew up knowing how to use Excel,
yeah.
right? So, and that is one of the tools that a good data analyst should know how to use, okay? Mm-hmm. So if you already have that background knowledge of Excel, it's so easy for you to, you know, just expatiate on it and learn the other skills that a data analyst requires for their role. So, and then also to be a data analyst, you also have to have like an analytical mindset. And what does that mean? You should be able to be able to derive insights from your data that you're giving and be able to make good business decisions for your company. So all of these are skills that if you studied business admin, for example, or you studied business something, you already have a very good idea what a data analyst should do. Because a data analyst, just look at it this way. A data analyst, what it just implies, the name data analyst means you take your data and you analyze it. Now, this is just a title, right? A lot of us in our everyday, day-to-day lives, we analyze data, whether we realize it or not. For example, take a trader that sells in maybe Lagos Island Market. This trader is going to evaluate how much wares they have at the beginning of the day, how much they sold, how much some people stole from them, you know?
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, they take account of all of these things. And then maybe at the end of the month, they'll be like, this month wasn't so good for me. I lost this. I didn't sell up to this amount. Or this month was really good for me. I sold almost everything. I made a lot of profits and, you know, minimized my risk, minimized. So that person is analyzing their own data. So that is why I tell people that it comes naturally to us as human beings. And that's why I tell people that it's the easiest to get into tech just by virtue of we do it day to day.
Okay.
It could be you know, your finances, you're looking at your finances and you're evaluating how much you need to spend or budget. I could go on and on about this anyway, so let me just stop talking here.
Okay, I wanted to say this real quick because at first I still thought like you were into data analytics and all, but now that you said, oh, you changed that, you're like a software engineer now.
Yeah.
These days, like in almost everybody's Twitter bio, everybody's either a front-end developer or back-end developer or product manager, which makes it seem like a number of people, like these are like the career options available. I know that product is a bit more chilled as compared to maybe others that require like a strong level of coding and all. And it's all like me that I've never finished learning my French and I want to say that I want to add a computer language to it. So if I don't want to learn, like you said, if I don't want to like learn any, I don't want to know anything about code or coding, is there still a space for me? Are there other things that I can do? Apart from data analytics, I said, is there any other thing that you feel like, okay, can work for me or can work, basically?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. There are, like, different roles that do not involve coding. And off the top of my head, I can think of quite a lot. I know, like you mentioned, product managers don't code, but then it's also good for them to have like domain knowledge because you basically cannot manage projects if you don't know what your engineers are doing or working on. So that's for product managers. UI, UX, I know they don't code as well. We have IT managers, growth analysts, community managers, let's see, what else? Business analyst. Like, so there are a lot of roles that I know that don't require. I think there's even one called operations manager, right? So most of all these managerial roles do not require coding. And there are roles like that don't require coding. But one thing I tell people to bear in mind when they are trying to transition is, first of all, look at what skills you already have, or look at the skills that come naturally to you. That is what is going to help and guide you in choosing like the next, like the role you want in tech, right? So that's why I tell people, start from where you are. Don't feel that you don't have anything to offer. Your experiences are valid. Even if you're coming from a front desk experience, it's also valid because that means you have experience in terms of client facing, you know. You're able to communicate with people and all of that. So look for a role in tech that really capitalizes on that aspect such that you don't have to struggle so much, you know, when you've made your decision. But then, like I said, no journey is easy. There's nothing good that comes easy. It takes hard work. You can't expect to know something that other people have been doing for years and you expect to know it within a few days or weeks. It doesn't work like that. So you need to be able to also put in the work and, you know, yeah. And the sky is a starting point.
Yay! I wanted to even say, but I mean, I'm happy that you addressed that, because some of the, like when you were mentioning like some of the pathways that you could go through, they were like managerial options, which is like mid to senior executive like level. So, but at least I like the way you said it, that even if you're starting, whatever like experience that you have before is like instrumental, like you can start from there and just, you know, find your way and just build up. But also I just want to know, like, if you want to like come in now with no knowledge of coding whatsoever, like how should I say, relatively low is the barrier to entry? Like how is it, like how, I don't want to say how is it, because most of the people that I know how to code at the end of, like, they say you don't know how to code, but all of you still know how to code. So how is it, like how can you still just come in like as a beginner? Like, is there anything that you can
do? When you say come in, what role are we talking about? Data analyst?
Yeah, like, let's say as a data analyst now, like, how can you, like, start that journey? Like, okay, with low level, like, how can you start? Maybe if there's another, like, should I say, if there's another career line that doesn't involve, like, data analysis that is also tech, how can you come in that doesn't require coding? Let me, I just want to put that there, that doesn't require coding. How can you come in as well?
Okay. I think the first thing you need to do, first of all, before you, you know, jump right in, is to do some research. Okay. You've decided that, okay, you want to be a graphic designer, or you've decided that you want to be a data analyst. First of all, research on that. What do data analysts do? What are their day-to-day like? Reach out to data analysts on LinkedIn and, you know, message them, ask them that, oh, what do you love about your role? What are the things that make the role tick for you? Like, why are you a data analyst, basically? So talk to people, do your research, find out if it's something that you would like. That's the first thing I say. Now, after your research and you've decided that, okay, this thing is for me, I see myself being a data analyst, then you start looking for the skills that you need to acquire, okay? But like I mentioned earlier, first of all, look at the skills you already have and how you can, you know, use those same skills as, like, use those same skills in the role that you've decided. So when you, for example, if you want to be a data analyst, then I mentioned Excel, you need to, you know how, like, to use basic Excel for your data analysis. Okay, so you need to use Excel for your data analysis. You need SQL. So SQL is a query language that is necessary for you to be able to read your data from a database, to be able to query and, you know, see what is in your table and all of that. So you need SQL. And then the third thing you would need is a visualization tool. So I know some data analysts that don't have to code. There are some data visualization analysts that is that's just their job, to visualize data, find insights from them, and, you know, give feedback to the business on what their data is telling them and how they should proceed, or what areas they need to capitalize on, or what areas they need to drop, and all of that. So there are some data analysts that don't even have to go into Python programming. But then there are some roles that require you to actually clean your data. And if you're going to be cleaning your data, then you would need Python or R. Now, I always recommend Python to people when they are getting into data analysis instead of R. And the reason I recommend Python is because, give yourself the opportunity to grow, right? Mm-hmm. The natural progression of a data analyst is, after being a data analyst and you feel you want something more challenging, is to become a data scientist, right? And as a data scientist, that is when you get code. That is when you get, like, it gets more code heavy. And what do you use for coding? You use Python. So why not give yourself that opportunity for growth, for room, okay? Like, room to grow, rather. That, okay, give yourself, like, okay, when I'm done being a data analyst and I am tired, okay, what would make it easy for me to transition to the next opportunity, the next big thing, right? And that's why I always encourage people to program with Python. Now, for me, that's what helped me as well. When I became a data analyst, I was writing Python. So it made it easier for me to transition to my current role, right? So it helps. No experience is wasted. That's what I always say. So Yeah, so figure out the tools you need. And it's easy, going back to your question, it's easy and it's not easy. To get into data analysis is easy. But like I said, the biggest break you need is getting your first job. That's the biggest break a lot of people, you know, struggle with. And take it from my experience. Let me tell you a bit about my experience.
Sure.
So how did I get my first tech job? I knew I wanted to get into coding. I think they're called number
by now. Yeah, they're called number.
Yeah. So I wanted to get into coding. I tried all my best to get into their data team and I couldn't. So what did I do? I got an internship as a business operations intern. You know, I did that for 6 months, but all the while I made sure I impressed my managers and I kept on telling my manager that my goal is to transition to the data team. I just came into this role to get my foot in inside the company. Yeah. Do you get me?
Yeah.
Like, that was what I kept on telling him. I was singing it to everyone who was willing to listen to me, that this is not my end position. Like, I actually want to get into the data team. So at the end of my internship, I got converted. I became a business operations associate. But I wasn't still, you know, comfortable with that position. I kept on pushing. So I reached out to the data team manager and spoke to him and told him that, look, these are my qualifications, I can do this, you know. And thank God he took a chance on me and I was able to transition to the data team. And that was how I got my first data job. And that's the thing, after you get your first data job, to get the next one is so easy. But people don't know that they can actually transition within their company where they are if they have a data team there. They can actually transition and do like an internal interview and transition process. So, yeah, so that's like the advice I give people. If you're finding it difficult to get a data analyst job, transition right where you are.
That's nice. Because since we're already even getting into jobs and all that, like you said, you were already in the company, so you were just able to, like, I don't want to say switch positions, but you were able to, like, move from, you used what you had at that point in time to be able to move to where you wanted to get into. So let's say if somebody's just starting, like, externally, you're coming from a career, like, I'm trying to think of something that is like on the far side that has nothing to do with science.
Yeah, just English.
Thank you. You're coming from English, or yeah, we've been working in maybe journalism, script writing, something English. Yeah, okay. And you're trying to get into this space now. How do you get your first job? Because thankfully, you already said it. That once you get your first job, at least you have, like, you've built, even if it's just that one job, you have a portfolio to say, okay, this is what I've done, this is what I can do, right? So how do you even land that first one? How do you get into it?
Okay. So I would mention two things. Quick one. The first one is, if you are like, maybe you have like an English background or journalism, check within your company. It's still the same thing. Check within your company if they have like an IT team, and then interview for a position, okay? Like internally, that's one. But if that is not possible, if maybe you're actually like fresh out of college and you've not worked or nothing, then the second option I tell people is to do internships. Even if it's not paid. So I'm not a supporter of don't pay people, okay?
Yeah.
If you're doing an internship in a company, the company should actually pay you because you're spending your resources coming to work every day and all of that. But then if you don't find a paid internship, do an unpaid internship. Because the importance of getting experience is very important that you get experience, okay? It's very important you get experience. And a lot of companies shy away from, you know, employing people with no experience. They shy away from that responsibility. Because what it means for a company to employ you, if you don't have any experience, it means that they're taking a bet on you.
Yeah.
Okay? They don't know you. These companies don't know you as a person. So they're taking a bet on you that, okay, you'll be valuable to them at some point in the future. But then, not all companies have the time, luxury or resources to take that bet on you. So what do? You take a bet on yourself and you look for internships, boot camps, things that would give you more experience. And then from there, that way you're building like your CV, right? You're building relevant experience that would help you land your first data job. After an internship, you can actually put a title as a data analyst on your CV, because that is relevant experience. And then you apply as a data analyst and not just, you know, I'm still learning data analysis or I'm still learning and all of that. No. But one thing also is to make sure you have like a portfolio, so that when you are called for an interview, remember you have the skills. Remember you can deliver, because this is something that you are passionate about and you're doing. So acing the interviews shouldn't be an issue for you. Mm-hmm. I want to believe that the issue for you is getting your foot in the door for even an interview, okay? Yeah. And the way to do that is to do internships, boot camps, and summer opportunities that some companies offer. So that's the advice I would give.
Yeah, even though that you're not a supporter of internships that are not paid, first off, Igbo woman, we have to get our money right. we have to get our money right. So by the way, guys, these things that Chidinma is sharing, Chidinma is in the UK. So, of course, she's cashing out, not just in Naira, she's cashing out in pounds. So, at the end of the day, don't you my helper me on this place. Don't even come here and be doing my helper. So, guys, if this is working for you, if it's clicking for you, it's me that I'm collecting money. Me that I'm hosting this podcast. I'm the one that I'm going to be paid for bringing somebody like her to come and be teaching you knowledge that can make you cash out in pounds, in foreign currency. Ego Igbo, they call it. At least I know that part of Igbo. Ego Igbo. So, all these tips and knowledge like this is money, is very much money. What would you now say is the downside? Because now it seems like tech is rosy and everything is fine and everything is juicy, but I mean, there has to be a downside to it. There has to be some con to it. What's the thing that I like? If not because this thing is what I like and it's paying me well, like, what's the downside to it?
Okay, so the downside to working in tech, well, for now, I mean, I think everyone is kind of aware of the tech layoffs that is happening at the moment. Mm-hmm. And just to touch briefly on that, so the reason that is happening is because, you know, during COVID, we're all at home and, you know, everyone turned to the internet, everyone was working remotely, and basically there was a boom in tech, right? There was, like, tech products were booming, we're using Zoom, Slack, more often, Facebook, everyone was online, you know, so companies expanded more than necessary, okay? And so now that everything is returning back to normal, we have like a lot of people in like redundant roles, so they are not doing much work, right? So that is why like there are a lot of layoffs now. So I know like a lot of things are happening, and so things like this, that's one of the downsides of working in tech. If like there's something like this happening, like economic issues and all of that, and there's like a recession, there's always a probability that you could get laid off, right? So that's, and this happens in all industries.
I was about to say that, it's like all industry technically.
Yeah, so this happens in all industries, but I just wanted to touch on that. I think, let me see, the second thing about working in... Yeah, so something else, you're always in front of your screen.
I wanted to say that. I heard that they say you people don't used to have a life like that.
No. We have a life, please. But yeah, not like other people that, you know, get to party a lot and all of that. But, I mean, there might be some people that actually do that. But what I was even going to touch on as number two was you're always in front of your screen. So you're exposed to all these rays, like a lot of stress on your eyes and all of that. So that's... And then also you might be living a sedentary lifestyle, you know, always sitting down and not moving. That's not a very good thing, like health-wise. So that's why they recommend like a lot of people that work in tech to get their eyes checked regularly.
Chima, you're mentioning bougie problems. You're mentioning bougie problems. Like this thing, apparently, because not where you fainted it, that this thing like this is all good. If your eyes have, go and get blue blocking lens. Go and get blue blocking lens, and I mean maybe exercise before work or so. You're mentioning like bougie. At the end of the day, maybe they were correct. You people, it's bougie life. It's proper luxury life you guys are living, because even the problems are like soft, like, oh, your eyes get lenses.
So that's the thing, right? Working in tech, I can't really think of a disadvantage right now, and that's just because
God, are you talking to me?
Truth of the matter is, when people complain about, you know, the economy, things are more expensive, honestly, it's not affecting some people. It's not affecting me. It's not affecting some people.
And you were saying my helper just now. So you are the helper.
The truth of the matter is that it's not affecting, we need to, like, say the truth, right? It's not affecting some people.
Wow.
That's why, like, sometimes, let's not go into that. Before the conversation gets into something,
when we are done with this, I'm going to go and change your name on my phone.
Will not affect you. That's just the truth. That's just the honest truth. Like, it won't affect you because you're earning more than the average person.
Hey God. Hey God.
But that's not to say that all roles pay well.
Sure,
okay?
Sure.
Let's not get that
twisted as well.
That's not to say all roles pay well. There are just some roles that pay just enough, right? And that is why most people tend to go for, you know, programming, because when program, because it is not so easy and it's more difficult than the other non-programming roles, they tend to pay more, and that's why a lot of people want to program, because they pay more.
God, are you talking to me? You see, after this our conversation, I'm going to go and change your contact description on my phone. You see that emoji that has this dollar sign tongue out? That's the name. Chidima.
Chidima, don't come here and be doing this.
I'm going to go and change it. I write Chidima, that emoji. I'll put three, not one. Three of those emoji with that tongue out dollar sign. That's the thing I'm going to do now. Because the way you just said it, that apparently, I heard that people cash out like a lot. Like people, especially once it's, like, I mean, when it's challenging, that's why I guess people in coding and programming get like paid much more and all. But the way you just said it now.
Okay, I just remember the downside.
Okay.
But then you would also say it happens in all jobs. Like, there's a lot of pressure for you to deliver, right? There's a lot of pressure, and because it's directly translate to what you can do. You know, there's some jobs that you have to depend on other people to do their job and all of that, but this one, it directly, you need to deliver on your task giving. I don't know if I'm saying it well, but there's a lot of pressure. Let's just say that.
Yeah, okay, that one I can say, because like I said, initially I said something about, okay, they said tech people don't have a life because they're always on their screen, like,
yeah,
they always have, like, there's always something to do, like, there's always something to do and there's always a deadline to do something. I get that most jobs kind of are like that, but it seems like their own is times 10 of it, that there's always something to do and there's always something to do now and get it done now and all. So I think that's the only downside. I'm going to, every other thing that you said is bougie problem, please.
Yeah, it's bougie problem, please.
Every other thing is bougie problem. This one is the one that I'm definitely going to like take it to. So I guess like we're wrapping up this episode, but real quick, for women, I mean, when I joined Tech in Ills, like community online, I felt that it was, I thought you were the one running it or so, but I think it was along the line. I don't know if you're like, I believe you're a core part of your team and all, basically, but I felt like you were the one running it. Anywho, I noticed that most of it was about, you know, encouraging women to, you know, come into this space and, you know, like there's space for growth for them, particularly like for growth for them. Like it seems like a more, should I say, primarily male dominated, but thankfully, I mean, people like you are defying the odds and whatnot. So would you still like, is it still, I know that a number of people have switched into tech, but would you still say that there's still room? I know that a lot of people have, like a lot. I know people from English, people from finance, like places that you would not even imagine have switched, but would you still say that, oh, okay, there's still a lot of space that people can come into, primarily women?
Definitely women are still underrepresented in tech. Like that is something that is for sure, and that's why we keep pushing that more women should get into tech. We are still underrepresented.
I know that I say women are underrepresented in almost any field, but I see, like, especially for tech, like I hear that a lot, that okay, that there are not so many. And I feel like it was even evident in school, Sif, like in your department then. The girls that I only knew in Lect, you, Bliss, I think Busayo was in.
I think in my class, we were like 11 out of 100 and let's say 40 students in my class.
Can you imagine?
We're like 11 girls.
Can you imagine? And then when I used to talk to like some of the guys that I knew then, if I mention, if I'm like, oh, I know someone in your class, and they're like, oh, a girl. I'm like, oh, a girl. They're like, you may not know her. They're like, no, don't worry, I know her. They're like, oh, don't worry, I know her. I'm like, no, you may not know her. She's quite. I said, don't worry, I know her. Like, they are very sure that they know you people. And it's not. It wasn't just your department. You know, I feel like it was across like the faculty of tech. Like even in Merck, like people in Merck, people in like this thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like God is now this episode, this particular episode that showed me two things. First off, I need to get my money right. Number two, I'm going to change your name on my phone.
Oh,
I'm
my
going
goodness.
To change. That's like the two important things for me this episode. I'm going to share the space. There's not just space, there's space for women. And number two, I have to change my your name. Chidima, I've been dulling. I just wrote Chidima, that's all. But now I've realized this is a revelation to me that I have been I've not magnified you enough. But it's the truth. I mean, it's the truth. It's the honest truth. We jumped into this episode real quick. I mean, we got straight into it. But I just ask people how their week was, how it is generally. So how was your week? I saw your Instagram. I saw it. Don't worry. I know your week was juicy. So how was your week? Share it. How was your week?
My week was good.
What did you do? What are you doing? By the way, Chidima is married. You're the second married woman I'm having. What is going on? Chidima is married, so there's a man. What was
I
the
saw
week
Lamide
like?
Yesterday, she came to my place. I hosted like friends over.
Oh, no, and I saw it. Like I said, I saw your story, so I knew that it was a good week for you, but I didn't know about that juicy part. Nice.
So we just had friends over.
Oh, okay. So if people want to reach you, where can they reach you on? Is it Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram?
I would say Instagram, and then follow my YouTube channel.
What is your Instagram handle? We don't know your handle.
My Instagram handle is Chidima, but then each of the syllable has like a dot, so it's chidin.ma.
Now wow, that's how rich people do. People don't question it too much. That's just how rich people do. I'll put it like in the description how your handle is. And your YouTube, like what's the name of your YouTube channel?
Chidima Afam.
Chidima does this stuff that on Wednesday, she does SQL Wednesdays, every Wednesdays, where she just like tackles like questions for SQL interviews, addresses them, how to answer them, and also you can also check that out because she has given us a roadmap on how to get into it, primarily data analytics. Start from Excel, then work your way to SQL, then you can also just try and learn one or two programmers. So yes, of course, check our YouTube page, check our Instagram page, and basically we've come to the end of the episode. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, Chidima, for coming. I'm so happy we finally got to do this. We've been pushing this thing for weeks, but we finally done it, and I'm so excited. Thank you guys for listening. Like, share, and of course rate anywhere you get your podcast from, be it Google, Apple, Spotify. And till the next episode, hasta la vida, guys. Bye.